All right, we're in our discipleship booklet again this morning. Is there anyone that does not have one? You've not yet received one of our discipleship books. We'd be glad for you to have one so you can follow along. We are on page number 5 in the discipleship book. And again, we're talking about those things that make us more than a nominal Christian. And by nominal Christian, we simply mean going through the motions, doing the things that our Christians are supposed to do. That is kind of the status quo for most of those that name the name of Christ in this day. Just get by doing as little as you can. Being thankful for your salvation, praising the Lord for it, but other than that, just glide on your way to heaven when you die. But for a disciple of the Lord, it's different. There's a dedication involved. There's a sacrifice, there's a following. And if you desire to be a disciple, that's what we're looking at here. Now, if that's not in your wheelhouse and you're not interested in that, well, that's a whole other issue. That's a heart issue right there. But if you want to be one of his disciples, and that's what we're talking about, being in the Word of God, being in church, spending time in prayer, and then our topic this morning that we started last week, that is the topic of giving. If there's any issue that probably makes the rubber meet the road, it's on the issue of giving. We would like to think it's the unbelievers that are the money grubbers, the unbelievers that are tight-fisted, the unbelievers that worship the almighty dollar. But the fact of the matter is, many believers are in that same boat. Because when it comes to this issue of giving financially for the support of the Lord's work, they're not interested. All right, they're not going to give up their hard-earned money for the Lord's work, even when he commands it and teaches it and instructs us on how to do so, why to do so. And again, what we're looking at this morning in the issue of giving is how thorough the Bible is about it, so that we know it's not just a haphazard thing. It's not throwing a quarter in the offering plate on Sunday morning to pay off God for what he's done. All right, we could never pay God for what he's done for us. And so he simply gives us a minimum requirement of what we give back to him. And I'll say it again, a minimum requirement. He could ask much more than he's asked, and he would be justified in doing so. But he asked for a minimum requirement, and that's what we're looking at. We're talking about the act of giving. Malachi 3:10 was our head verse for this section. Bring ye all the tithes, there's our word, tithes, into the storehouse. They were brought to a central location. They were not given haphazardly. They were not given out to whomsoever will. Some folks think, well, I help so-and-so out, so I'll just deduct that from my tithe. That I even get shudders in my body when I say that, because that's not tithing. That's charity. And there's nothing wrong with charity. Charity is a great thing. But charity and tithing are two different things. When we help someone else out financially, that's charity. By all means, do that. But not in the place of tithing. And again, I could give you illustrations over 32 years, 33 years here at Bible Baptist Church of statements, unfortunately none that anybody here has made, but statements that people have made in the past. Pastor, I bought this for the church. Now, first of all, please don't buy anything for the church if you haven't been asked to buy something for the church. And we're talking about furniture, and we're talking about plaques and things like that. I bought this for the church, and I said, well, give the treasurer a receipt. You know, we'll be glad that, no, I'm just deducting that from my tithe. That's not how that's done, all right? That's not, the tithe goes to the Lord, not to buying furniture, not to helping out your neighbor. All those things are good. But that's not tithing. So we're trying to clarify what it is. Number one, we saw the principle, and that was the first time the word tithe appears. And we told you that it appears 40 times in the scripture, 32 times in the Old Testament, 8 times in the New Testament. So it is a New Testament word as well as Old Testament, though many of the New Testament references refer to the Old Testament. It's not eliminated. He told the Pharisees, you should give tithe of all these things, but more important are love, mercy, and justice, things like that. But we are to tithe. So there's the principle of giving tithes of all. Anything that we are blessed with, we should give a portion back to God. All right, somebody gives you some money. Somebody gives you $100 for this thing or that. Well, there's a portion of that that belongs to God. No, regardless of where it came from, it belongs to God. So make sure you give it to Him. All right, number two, and this is what I've been avoiding it. I've been saying a portion. Well, here's where we get the portion. Number two, the percentage. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2, the Bible talks about that verse in Genesis 14:20. And it says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Abraham was a very wealthy man. He had money, he had cattle, he had fields and farms, he had all kinds of things. And in the midst of that, he gave a tithe of all, 10%. That's the percentage. He gave a tenth part of all. We had a Filipino missionary here Wednesday night, a national Filipino. And when he was here, we were talking afterward after church, and he was talking about the tithing system in the Philippines. Folks just don't have money. They don't subsist on money, especially outside of Manila, the big cities. They subsist on their farming. And so for their tithe, they bring in 10% of their eggs, 10% of their vegetables. 10% of that that's given is brought in and brought into the church. They don't live on a monetary economy like we do. That's kind of hard for us to fathom, is it not, to live that way? But that's a very common practice. And so Abraham did that. He gave tithes of all, tithes of everything that he owned. 10% of that went to God, to whom Abraham gave also a tenth part of all. I've had this question: is that all of his gross or all of his net? Now I want to be careful when I say this, but and somebody could ask that sincerely, but the minute you ask that, it's almost like you're trying to cut it down already. All right? You make $15 an hour, let's just take a number, 40 hours a week, you make $600. Well, do you give 10% from that $600? Or do you wait till the government takes out their 20 or 25%? And do you wait till the employer takes out their insurance that they give you for $50 a week or whatever it is? And then after that, you tithe on what's left. Well, which do you think, which do you think God wants 10% of? What you made, what He gave you the physical ability to earn and acquire, or what's left after? And I've even heard folks say this: well, after I pay my utility bills and my house payment and my car payment and my insurance payments and buy my groceries, I give God 10% of whatever's left. Man, you're really working the system. You know, God really gave us an easy formula, 10%. It couldn't be any. He didn't ask for 11%, 12%, 9.6%, 10%. You know how easy that is mathematically? You don't even need a calculator. Now, some of the younger people coming out of school today would probably need a calculator to figure out 10%. But again, $600, and so 10%, you just take the digit off the end, is $60. I mean, it does $541.23. All right, it's $54.41. You can do the math right off the top of your head. 10% is very, and God made it an easy system to do. So there's a percentage. We give a tithe. The tithe equals a tenth, something that is very easy to figure out. And God made it easy on us. Don't you wish the IRS would do that? Don't you wish your 1040 short form was as easy as they tell you the 1040 short form is, if you're fortunate enough to be able to file a 1040 short form? Once you get into all these big things with deductions and all that, then it gets pretty hairy out there. But God just says 10%, $100, 10, $50, 5, $20, 2. It's such a simple system. And here's where it comes, number 3, the proof. Can I say this with all honesty and sincerity? If when we talk about tithing and percentages, it makes you cringe, and I'm saying this with all compassion as a pastor, there's a spiritual problem there. Okay? If giving to God, if giving to God is a problem, and makes you nervous, that's a spiritual issue. Because God is deserving and God is worthy, and he's asking for so little from what he gives to us. And for us to harden up, for us to resist that, really shows a spiritual thermometer problem. It's nothing but that. It's not an economic problem. And all the number of times I've sat down with folks and they tell me this, and you've heard this, "Pastor, I just can't afford the tithe." Now, let me say this. I've never approached anybody about their tithing. I couldn't actually tell you who tithes and who doesn't tithe. I'm not the treasurer. I don't keep the records. When the treasurer sends out the statement at the end of the year that shows you how much you made for IRS purposes, you don't see my name, my signature. I don't even see those before he mails them out. I don't know any of those things. But sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, you know, "God's spoken to me about this or that." And they'll say, you know, "God has talked to me about tithing. I want to tithe. I should tithe, but I just can't afford to tithe." Now, can I say I've been in that position before? I've not always been rich and wealthy like I am right now. All right. I remember the days in Bible college where you're checking the seat cushions looking for change so you can buy some Kool-Aid and have Kool-Aid instead of water with dinner that evening. I remember those days. I remember the vehicles. I remember the struggle. I remember all those things, raising a bunch of kids, feeding everybody. Okay, I know. It was tough. It is tough. I don't take that away from anything. But it's not, "Pastor, I can't afford to give." It's, "Pastor, I can't afford not to give." Now, when I talk about prayer, and we've been studying prayer on Wednesday night, and we've been talking about this. When you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. When you're spending so much money you can't tithe, you're spending too much money. All right? There's always, God did not make an impossible request. God did not make a burdening request. Again, 10%. That is such a minimal thing. And so, what does he say? It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 and 8. And that is what your book says, right? Because I'm going off my notes, so. Where is it? 2 Corinthians. Where are we at? Okay, proof. 2 Corinthians 8, yeah. I had to correct it in my notes because I had 1 Corinthians originally. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'd encourage you to turn there. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10 are all about giving. Isn't it interesting to the church at Corinth? And if you know the church at Corinth, in fact, I'm preaching on the Corinthian church tonight, of all things. But the church of Corinth, who struggled with a lot of issues, one of their issues was giving. And so Paul addressed that in 2 Corinthians for three chapters, chapters 8, 9, and 10. I've got a sermon from those three verses called "The Ease of Giving." The ease, not the E-A-S-E, but the ease. Just looking here quickly in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 10. "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient." There's one of the E's, expedient. It's expedient that we give. Verse 16, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care." There's an E, all right, the E of giving. Verse number 17, "For indeed he accepted the exhortation." There's an E. There's nine of them. I'll not go through all those now. But there's nine words that begin with the letter E in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10 that talk about the need, the importance of giving. You'll notice in verse 16 it said, "But thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you." Giving shows our earnest care. We invest in what we care about. And if we care about the Lord, if we care about the saints, if we care about the church, then we're obedient in giving the way God tells us to give. It proves the sincerity of our love. Here's 2 Corinthians 8, look down at verse number 7. "Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in love to us, see that you abound in this grace also." All right, what is this grace? Well, it's the grace of giving. We'll not go back over the entire chapter. but he's writing about the grace of giving. All right, the heart attitude, the desire to, the want to. God loveth a cheerful giver. All right, not one that you've got to squeeze it out of them, but one who gives cheerfully. It's a grace. He says, abound in this grace also. Verse 18, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove, notice, the sincerity of your love. We have an American expression for that. Put your money where your mouth is. All right, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. The Lord says, all right, prove the sincerity of your love. Obey my instructions on giving 10% back to God. You prove the sincerity of your love. He's talking to the churches at Macedonia. He tells them to give, make it the first fruits. Make it the first fruits. You know what that means? The first 10% belongs to God. It's not after the mortgage payment and after the grocery bill and after this and after that. It's the first fruits. You get that paycheck, as it were, however you're paid, monthly, weekly, and I mean W-E-E-K, not W-E-A-K. I'll let you catch up on that for a moment, all right? Whatever it is, the first 10% belongs to God. The best thing you can do if you're on a cash system, make sure you get that 10%, put it in an envelope and it'll be right. If you're on a checking system, writing checks for things, and write that check for 10% to get it done. We'll talk about that a little bit more about that in the morning. But it is morning in a minute. All right, but that's God's system for giving. It shows the sincerity of our love. God knows if we give. We have been fortunate here at Bible Baptist Church in 33 years of ministry. We started out small. We started out slow. And I think I've still got the records back there, believe it or not. When we started in December of 1991, as the pastor, I made $25 a week. I was raking it in back in those days. All right. Now, I obviously worked another job, and I did that for the first 15 years as we went out. But that's what we could afford to do. Now we've gone from that humble beginning to where we are now. Look at the building we're in. Look at the properties we own. Look at the investments we're making, the missions we're supporting. All that has happened over these years because people have proved the sincerity of their love. And here's the simple fact. If anyone under the sound of my voice, if you're not giving and you're not tithing, let me say it two ways. Number one, I don't care. We're fine. All right? It's not gonna profit me for you to start tithing if you're not tithing. On the second hand, I care. Not because it benefits me and not even because it benefits the church, but because it benefits you. Because if you're not doing it, number four, the problem. Will a man rob God? The obvious answer is no. Why would anybody do that? God says to the nation of Israel, yet ye have robbed me. What? How? But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he said, in tithes and in offerings. All right? When we do not give God the 10% that he's asked of us to give, there is no excuse under the sun that he's going to buy. He's going to say, you've robbed me. I have blessed you. I've given you the power, the ability to have income, to get money. And you took it and you grabbed it and you stuck it in your pocket and you spent it on yourself and you did not give to me what I asked you to give to me. Now again, this might sound awful rough, but it's a biblical principle. I did not make up the system of tithing. The Baptist Church did not make up the system of tithing. It is a biblical system. And it is our way to give back to God in thankfulness for what he's done for us by his mercies, by his instruction. This is how we do it. And when we don't do it, we are robbing God. Here's the sad thing. Somebody will not tithe, but they wouldn't dream of not paying their electric bill. You know why? Because if I don't pay my electric bill, they'll shut off the electric. Oh, so they will do something if you don't pay. Aren't you glad God's not like that? And he's not. I don't think God's sitting up there saying, well, if you don't pay it, I'm just going to clobber you over the head. I've heard all kinds of things. You know, somebody says, well, you know, I wasn't tithing, and so I had a flat tire and had to buy it. You know, God wouldn't let me keep the money. I had to put it in something. I don't know that God works that way or not. But I do know this. If we don't give to him, we've robbed him. You know, don't make the mortgage payment. Well, they'll take away my house. Don't pay your car payment. They'll take away a car. So I'll just not give God because God won't do anything about it. I don't know that I'd want to make that challenge. I don't know that I want to put it in those words. And so God says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. How have you robbed me? In tithes. That's at 10%. And in offerings. Now we're not even getting into the offerings. You know what offerings are? That which we give above our tithe. All right? The tithe is 10%. God wants us to give tithes and offerings. So 10% is the base. That's the entry level in Christianity. You start there, and from there you begin to give to other causes. You give to missions. Some of you give at the senior saints. We take offerings, or you give money to missionaries when they pass by. Give them hand them money going out the door, things like that. All kinds of things. We give our tithes and we give our offerings. That which means too much to us, the almighty dollar. God says, I want you to give that to show the sincerity of your love. And if we don't give it, we're robbing from God. I've said it this way, you've heard it. If we are not tithing, we're robbing God because we're keeping in our pocket that which belongs to him. And so when we tithe, we're simply getting God's money out of our pocket. Getting it where it belongs, giving it to him. So the problem is, people rob God. Not giving is robbing. Someone that's robbing is a thief. All right, so let's make sure we give. Then number five is the pattern, instructions on how and when to give. Now, again, if this wasn't a biblical system, then we would not find so much detail in the Bible about it. But we do. We find out how to give, when to give, what percentage to give, what day to give, all these different kinds of things. God's got the system laid out in the Word of God. I am thankful for instruction. Nothing works or functions right without instructions. Fellas, we all know that. Putting together that bicycle on Christmas Eve or putting together whatever that is, I don't need the instructions. And then you find out you put the part on backwards or the wrong side and you got to go take the whole thing apart again and go back. And then, I don't know about you, then I start paying attention to the instructions. But whether it's military, whether it's education, whether it's your job, everything has specific instructions to give you. So everybody just doesn't come in and do what they feel like doing. When they feel like doing it, that's chaos. There's got to be an organization to it. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. And so this thing of giving, God gives us a pattern for it. He tells us, first of all, how to give. How to give. We've already seen what to give, that percentage. All right, that 10%. Now he tells us how to give. First of all, give bountifully. Bountifully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Here the Bible says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. There's a principle. You give, God blesses. Give little, God blesses little. Give much, God blesses much. You reap what you sow. That's the system. It's a very simple, very, very simple system. I practiced that system yesterday. You might notice I'm a little red today. little darker than normal. I spent the whole day yesterday trying to beat the storms that were supposed to be coming in that never showed up in Cambridge. Now, Sonia was down here last evening printing the bulletin out, and she said it was just pouring rain down here. I was up at home trying to beat the rain, and it clouded up, and the thunder was rolling, and it was getting dark, and I was working as fast as I could. I was sowing grass seed. I had to clean all the rocks out. You know, the bag said anything that's bigger than a grape. You know how small a grape is? You know how many rocks in there are bigger than grapes? That's a lot of work. So I was trying to clean all that out so I could sow seed. And I'm out there with my little spreader and running around putting the seed out there thinking, how do I know if I'm putting enough seed down? All right, I'm a city boy. Remember that, okay? How do I know if I'm putting enough seed down? So I probably did overkill. Because I figured the more seed I put down, the more grass is going to grow up, right? I think that's the way the system works. And so I'm out there sowing, just putting it out there as much as I can because I want that grass to grow up. The more I sow, the better it's going to grow. That's a natural principle. The Bible says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Look back, and I'm going by memory here. Luke. I don't have this verse down there anywhere, do I? Luke 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Here's how God takes that system of sowing and reaping, and he puts it into perspective. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, M-E-T-E, withal shall it be measured to you again. God blesses according to our generosity. The more that we give, the more that God gives to us. That's the biblical principle. And so we need to give. He said we should give bountifully. When someone asked me, Pastor, should I tithe? Yes. When someone comes, and this is just an age-old argument, tithing's not in the New Testament, tithing's not for the church. Paul never mentions it in his epistles to the church. Okay. Well, if tithing was 10% under the law, how much more should you give under grace? All right? We don't back up. We don't give less. We give more. But it's never been an occasion when someone came to me for that counsel or advice or asking me and saying about that tithing that they wanted to give more. They always wanted to give less. And again, can we say that's a heart problem? To want to have to give less. That's an ethical problem. To want to have to do less. God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. I don't know about you. I want the windows of heaven to be open. I want the blessings to be falling tonight. That's the song, the hymn we sing. And God says that he'll do that according to our giving. When we don't give, we'll never. You can listen to Dave Ramsey all you want to. And his investment and how much money you're supposed to save and have in the bank and all that kind of stuff. I'll simply tell you this. If you give that money to God, God will make sure it's taken care of. God will give it back to you and you'll be taken care of. That's how God's system works. All right? Investing in him and putting the money there. So how to give? Give bountifully. Nickel and dime God. And he'll probably nickel and dime you. Give bountifully and he'll return bountifully. Number two, not only should we give bountifully according to Scripture, but we should give willingly. Willingly. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 12. For if there be first a willing mind. And again, there is the problem. Greed. Tight-fistedness. selfishness, not giving it to God. We want it to go to number one, and number one is not God. And so there's that problem. If there first be a willing mind, it's accepted according to that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. Now, we could also say, we don't have it in the list, but we could say proportionately, give proportionately, because it says God accepts according to that a man hath, and not that he hath not. Somebody's making $10 an hour, $400 a week, they give $40. Somebody's making $20 an hour, they're making $800 a week, they're giving $80. So you say, well, God's going to bless the guy that's given $80 more than the guy that's given $40. You know your Bible better than that. The widow with the two mites had given more than them all, because she'd given everything she had. Okay, God does not look at it. 10% is 10%, regardless of your income. And so when we're giving, we're supposed to be giving out of a willing mind, proportionately, according to how God has blessed us and provided for us. We give willingly, a willing mind, according to that which a man hath. The Holy IRS would look at your giving statement from Bible Baptist Church and say, all right, I know how much that person makes, because all I got to do is take their giving record times that certain number, and that's 10% of what they're giving. I know how much they make in a year. But that's usually not the truth. Now, for some, it's because we give more than 10%. And for some, it's because they don't give 10%. So it doesn't work that way. But God says you've got to have a willing mind. I give unwillingly every time I write my insurance checks. That's not willing, believe me. These guys have been making money off of me. My homeowner's insurance, my property insurance, I don't make claims. There's nothing there. Sometimes our health insurance, you go for a long time without ever having to use it, and then when you need it, you're thankful you got it. So, a two-edged sword there. But some of those payments, I'm not making them willingly. I'm making them because I don't want to be thrown in jail. I'll just be honest. I don't want to be in prison, so I pay what I have to pay. I pay my state taxes, and I send in my federal taxes. I do that not because I want to, but because I have to. But when it comes to giving to God, a willing mind. All right, give willingly. Number three, give cheerfully. We made this reference already. Oh, do we have the reference there? I don't have it in mind. Give cheerfully. Yes, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Again, some make a big stay out of every man as he purposeth in his heart. Well, that means you don't have to give just 10%. You can give more than that. You can increase that. You can give whatever God lays upon your heart to do better than that. Giving to missions, whatever God lays on your heart to give and help with that. All right? Let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. When the offering plate goes around, I'm not telling you have to do this, you can say amen when you put your offering in. Sometimes under our breath we're saying, oh me. But above our breath, we can say amen. We can fool everybody. Make it sound like we're doing it right. All right. God loveth a cheerful giver. Giving to God ought to make us happy. Make us thankful. Make us appreciative for what the Lord has done. Give cheerfully. And then number four, give sacrificially. Mark chapter 12, verse 44, again talking about that widow. For all they did cast in of their abundance. Talking about the Pharisees, the rich people, the rulers. They all came and gave lots of money. And everybody thought the Lord would praise them because of the great amount they give. And he said, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. God paid attention to the percentage. She gave 100%. And somebody said, hey, you don't have to do that. She wanted to do that. She wanted to give of all her living. So God paid it, but God was paying attention not to the dollar amount, not to the size of the coin, but according to the heart and according to the percentage of what she gave. She gave 100%. She gave all. She gave sacrificially. I can't say that most of us give sacrificially. Most of us give out of our abundance. Again, not that we're wealthy, not that we're rich. But we can afford this, we can afford that, we can afford the other thing. We can afford to give to God because He wants us to give. So give sacrificially. Again, we could have added on here, give regularly. We'll talk about that. We'll start with that next week. Give regularly, give proportionately. We talked about that up in number two, giving according to that a man hath and not according to he hath not. But the pattern to give, how to give, bountifully, willingly, cheerfully, sacrificially. All this instruction given that we might be disciples of the Lord, including in our giving to Him and being obedient. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Sunday school hour. We thank You for the time that we can dig and delve deeper into Your Word and look for the important truths that are there. We pray that You'd bless our morning service and those that come to join us now in Jesus' name. Amen.